when the sun comes out to shine eternal. I hope for the best, but here comes the colonel.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. The staff has so much fun around here trying to bring some mirth and levity to a serious science program. It's not all that funny. You need to come up with better material. Welcome back. The second half of The Promise of Tomorrow here on the Science News Radio Network. I'm your host. I'm Colonel Mason. In just a minute, we're going to get back to Colin Gordon. He's the lead application engineer in the Schweitzer Engineering Laboratory Wired Communications Division. He's going to be speaking at MetroCon, integrating physical awareness into cybersecurity systems for critical control networks. And you can learn more about MetroCon at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see a link. Right now, let's step over to our fountain of useless information we have here on the set for today's
show. Well, the fountain of useless information. How can I help you?
Yes, of course. We have awakened the spirit of the fountain. Oh, spirit of the fountain, who knows all, hears all, sees all, and tells all for a price. All right, oh, spirit of the fountain, put on your thinking cap a little bit and remember back in history. This was quite a thing. Irish activist became the youngest woman ever elected to the British Parliament in 1969. What was her name? What Irish activist became the youngest woman ever elected to the British Parliament in 1969? And I'll give you a hint. We used to travel through South Boston. Back around that time, and there was graffiti all over the walls saying, "Free." Yes, okay. Who is it?
I have given you my answer, and now you may tell.
The spirit of the fountain knows all, hears all, sees all, and does tell all for a price. The Irish activist becoming the youngest woman ever elected to the British Parliament happened in 1969, and the graffiti on walls in South Boston read, "Free Bernadette Devlin." If you said Bernadette Devlin, you're absolutely correct and have a great memory. Okay. Okay, if you missed the first half hour, we're speaking with Colin Gordon. He's the lead application engineer in the Schweitzer Engineering Laboratory Wired Communications Division. And he's going to be speaking at MetroCon. If you want to know more about that conference, go to our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see a link to their website, tell you all about it. He's going to be speaking about integrating physical awareness into cybersecurity systems for critical control networks. And in short, he says it's common that the physical security and cybersecurity response personnel and processes are separated. So he said now there's a push by various enforcement bodies, including the Nuclear Energy Regulatory Commission, towards a more holistic situational awareness, towards combining both operational and informational resources in a way that they can reuse existing data and communication paths to increase physical security. All right, put on your futuristic cap for a minute, your thinking cap, and look 5, 10, maybe 15 years down the road. Give us a look into the future. Where do you see us going? Give us a view down the road.
Sure. So, you know, one thing you've already brought up that I've been thinking about myself, which is how can drone technology be used for physical defense? And I think, you know, there is, in this election season, there's a lot of talk about walls and things like that. Well, we don't need to build the walls if we have things like drone technology that are able to help with physical awareness and physical security in the first place. So I think that drones are one of those things. 10, 15 years down the road, that could provide a huge boon for physical security for many organizations. The second thing I would like to look at is there's this trend now in networking. Remember, I am a wired communications person, but there's a trend that abstracting a lot of the intelligence out of these networking devices and putting them into a centralized computer. And when you do that, you can have the ability then to look at all of your different devices across your entire infrastructure in real time and provide dynamic traffic control options and everything else for your communication environment. I think that that same kind of idea can be applied to SCADA devices and physical awareness devices as well, where there's a single simple controller that sits at a simple location that's able to push and pull real-time information out of all these devices, which could be dumbed down then, to provide, and then that centralized controller could provide that information to various groups within an organization in a way that those organizations or those groups need to see that data. So I think there's going to be, the parlance in the industry is, a further abstraction of the control plane from the data plane. And I think that's also going to be a big boon to organizations coming now 10 or 15 years.
Wow, what an insight. Colin, you're fascinating, fascinating guest. I have to ask you before we get out of here. I know that in your career you've been mentored by people, and you're probably mentoring people right at the moment. And how about a word of wisdom, words to live by, something we can kind of take as a creed of living? Do you have something for us?
Sure. First of all, I'm only 31, so I'm not really qualified to answer that. But I will give you an observation. I think the best information always comes off social media. I'm slightly sarcastic about that. But I did see something last week on Twitter. There was a hashtag that was going around about your first 7 jobs. And I thought that was really interesting because you could read about the first 7 jobs that, you know, many different people in engineering or aeronautics had, including Buzz Aldrin. And, you know, many of these people that are considered to be American heroes really had inauspicious beginnings, like a camp counselor or a cook or a laborer. And so my word of wisdom really would be is don't look at particular jobs as being above you. Always have that kind of perseverance and self-initiative and be willing to work jobs, even if it doesn't look like they're going to get you to where they want to go.
All right, that's some real good wisdom. It made me kind of chuckle a little bit because I remember my first job. I don't even talk about it very much before I got into radio, and I was 16.
I mowed lawns.
Beg pardon?
I mowed lawns, so there's a lot of labor in my background.
Well, I was a bootlegger.
Hey, that's even better.
At age 16, I had a source for alcohol at the non-commissioned officers club at the air base near me, where I had a pass to get on and off the club anytime I wanted to, and I could buy it really cheap. And I supplied all the liquor for the senior graduation parties that were going on, and made some pretty good money doing it too. I bought several cars that way, and financed my going off to college. So that was kind of cool.
Well, there you go. I guess you shouldn't throw away any opportunity for just any job.
No, I guess if I would have been a little older, I wouldn't have been a bootlegger. I'd have been a drug dealer, I suppose, or something. I don't know. But anyway, hey, you've been absolutely a fascinating guest. Thank you so much for being with us. We're looking forward to meeting you at the Metricon conference, and it'll be a real joy. So thanks a bunch, Colin.
All right, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
All right, Colin Gordon, lead application engineer at the Schweitzer Engineering Laboratory, Wired Communications Division, specializing in communication and cybersecurity solutions. Thanks a bunch. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network special presentation, Promise of Tomorrow, with Colonel Mason. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online anytime, webcast, at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Right now, we're going to go to the phones. We've got a real treat. We have an old friend with us, a lady we've known for a number of years, Diane Collier. She, this year, is the chairman of the 29th annual conference, Metricon, Innovating for Society. Lockheed Martin's a major sponsor, so is Encore. And a number of others, and this is really Diane. This is your second year, I think, to be the chairman. Is that right?
Yes, it is. We had a great year last year. 7 tracks, all very interesting material, and so we're working on doing it again for 2016.
You made such an impression with your leadership last year that the committee begged you to please stay on and come back and be tortured again putting the show together this year. All right.
Well, they didn't have to twist my arm very hard. I've been involved with the conference a lot of those 29 years, so I've got a lot of background in it.
Yeah, really,
I remember it back when it was 2.
Yeah, you're an old hand, actually, I remember, because you and I have been dealing together with IEEE functions for a number of years now, so this is nothing new for you. This is the 29th straight year for MetroCon, and it's highly respected. And it's a one-day conference, which is what is really amazing, is because you're able to get all these people together, all these neat things going on, for one day. And there's a lot of other conferences that do 2 and 3 days and more. They wonder how you do it, how you get it all together. I mean, do you have any insight for us?
Well, it takes lots of planning. We start the next conference since the last one ends. We've got folks that have been involved with it for a number of years, and we cycle new people in to try to keep it fresh. What some of the multi-day conferences it has is a lot of people who travel. This one is primarily local, and so we're able to give people a break out of their work day into a training atmosphere and a networking atmosphere where they can get away from the office but still be building their technical background and their careers. And it's been a growing thing for a number of years.
Yeah, it's been fascinating to see it grow and sponsors coming aboard that really are pretty far flung. I remember last year Landis Gear came in. They're the ones who make the smart meters for us with Encore. I think they're coming back again this year. We're supposed to know here in a little bit. But so the sponsors have really grown widely. And I understand that unlike a lot of conferences that IEEE does and others that are marginal, that really MetroCon pays the bills and actually is a pretty good fundraiser for the organization.
Yes, it's taken us a while to get there, but this last year we had the best year fiscally ever, so we're able to put on other programs within the section. We do some reach out with programs that involve STEM studies, and so it gives us a greater base to improve the conference and to put on other programs within the area.
Yeah, well, that's the reason, I guess, is you're so highly respected and really noticed, quite frankly, far and wide. I mean, I hear people talking about MetroCon in all different parts of the country. They've asked me about it. Some of the things this year you're expanding upon, like systems and software track. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Let's see, the track chair for that is Steve Carr, and he's got a co-chair, Pascal Ronda. And they're out of Lockheed Martin, and they've got a good number of folks that are from Lockheed speaking in that track, and also an old friend of ours that's been there several years, John Robb, who's at UTA, is going to be speaking on mutation testing. Let's see, we also have Ali El Karabi from Hewlett-Packard, and I think they have another speaker that's going to be very interesting that they're lining up soon.
All right, that's cool. I believe, last I heard, and tell me if it's still in the works, but there's going to be a speaker from IBM. Has that been confirmed?
Yes, our keynote speaker is Romelia Flores from IBM. She is a IBM Distinguished Engineer and Master Inventor, and she's going to be talking about their Watson project. Now, Watson is really a lot of different things, and really ties in with our computational intelligence track, as you can take information and using Watson, grow that information to evaluate potential outcomes. And she'll be talking about, I think, an application that applies to the energy industry, among other things. We're not limiting her. She is really a fantastic speaker, and we're really excited to have her.
Okay, so she's really kind of still developing the things that she's going to be talking about, and I guess we'll know more about that as the weeks and months go on leading up to MetroCon. But incidentally, we should mention right now, it's October 26th at the Arlington Convention Center. We'll mention that again before the program is over with. I presume that she might have something to do with that, developing and deploying secure systems, too. The cybersecurity, is she going to address any of that, or do you have other experts there?
Well, we have other experts there. That track is led by Philip Todd and Princy Mehta of Lockheed Martin. You notice we have a lot of folks involved from Lockheed.
Mm-hmm.
They have a speaker coming in from FBI office. And, of course, we don't have a name for that person because they will maintain their security.
Sure.
We also have one of our speakers on developing and deploying secure systems is Ben Coloni. And he is a person who's spoken at the conference several times.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to speak on structure assurance modeling. We also have Don Breyer, who's going to be speaking on considerations for multidisciplinary approach in engineering of trustworthy and secure systems. It's going to be a strong track. They always have some very in-depth security programs in that area.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. We covered. Did we finish covering machine intelligence with the IBM speaker, or is there more to talk about with that track?
With that track, Romelia will be speaking Romelia will be speaking to the entire body at the luncheon.
Mm-hmm.
The computational intelligence track. Some of the questions that people have is, you talk about artificial intelligence, machine intelligence, computational intelligence. What do all those things mean? And so we've got a panel discussion where those terms will be compared and contrasted.
Okay.
And that will start off the track to kind of get lay a groundwork for the track. The track chair for that is Oscar Garcia of UNT,
mm-hmm.
And the co-chair is Ed Safford. Ed Safford is an IEEE member that's worked with us for a number of years on three programs in the section.
Yeah, we know Ed. We know Ed really, really well. Very, very talented, intelligent guy. Sure, Ed Safford.
Mm-hmm. We have a professor from Wright State University, Dayton, Ohio, coming, Michael Cott, who's speaking on intelligent autonomy and long-duration persistent activities, I probably should attend that to find out exactly what that means.
Okay. All right.
Here's another one that I think sounds really interesting, and this is another person from the University of North Texas, Rodney Nielsen,
mm-hmm.
is speaking on perceptive, emotive, spoken dialogue companion robots, which I think that will tie in very, very well to the Watson title. One of the interesting things is if you go to the IBM site where Watson has some tools that you can use or play with, is there's an item where you can put in your email information that you're going to put into an email and send, and check the tone of your email.
Mm.
You can tell whether you sound angry or joyful.
You mean in the written word, it'll prompt you as to whether you're sounding angry or joyful or insulting or whatever?
Yes,
whatever.
It'll give you the information on how you sound.
Well, you know, that's really
something
because, you know, we know with voice inflection, as we can tell, if somebody is angry or happy or whatever, and so we're pretty good. And in body language, too, with our looks and things like that, but the written word can be treacherous. There's times when people have dashed off a note to me or me to somebody else, and I'm looking back at it later on and saying, well, that sounds really, you know, blunt and almost sounds confrontational, and it wasn't meant that way at all. So that's pretty cool.
So I think that's a useful tool for us. So I think that should tie those things tied well to the Watson program at the luncheon.
Yeah, and power and energy systems, that's another one. Of course, that's a specialty with IEEE, since you happen to be in the business of power and energy systems. And I understand Encore is going to be making a presentation there. We're hoping to have the CEO of Encore, a guest on the program one of the days pretty soon. But is there any more that we need to know about the power and energy systems track?
Well, that track is led by PowerZell and Michael Stevens. And they are both from Encore, and they have built their track. They're from the Power Engineering Society, which is one of the strongest societies in the Fort Worth section.
Mm-hmm.
They have the most active chapter. Some of the interesting things is how they could be tied to the security track, because they have power system cybersecurity by Joe Eisenstein of Encore. And they're also looking at some other things in power, integration of renewable variable energy resources from Lee Z of Texas A&M.
Mm-hmm.
And power systems and physical and cybersecurity, another item in the track that ties to cybersecurity. Colin Gordon is speaking on that, and he's from SEL.
So it's interesting, a number of these tracks really kind of interchange and intermingle and complement each other. That's another reason for the great success that MetroCon is able to pull off in a one-day conference. It's pretty impressive. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network special presentation, Promise of Tomorrow, with Colonel Mason. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online anytime, webcast at promiseoftomorrow.biz. And at this time, I want to thank you very much for those of you who have contributed to this program. We depend on contributions from listeners like you for the existence of this show. We're totally science community supported. So those of you who have contributed, thank you very much. Those of you who wish to can do so at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see a little tab there for donations. Just click the donations, and we appreciate all your help.
And now we make time for the voice of reason. Listener comments, ideas, and suggestions.
Globalization is a force that's continuing, and I think there's going to be the more we know about the people around the world, the better chance we maybe get along together. I think, you know, some of the things that have happened are just because of lack of knowledge of people's culture, and I think the more we understand other people, we can get along better and see there's no long-term value in fighting, and together we can build and people are different, but diversity and different opinions are sort of what, you know, leads us forward. So I think that's the the thing of a level playing field around the world. I think we're going to see more and more of that, and we need to learn about the rest of the world. I'm Larry Chastain. I'm a professor at the University of Texas at Dallas, the Jindal School of Management, and I teach strategy courses and project management courses.
So you decide, has this really been the voice of reason? Listener comments are welcome at 214-329-4949. And please tell us your name and where you're from.
You've been listening to The Promise of Tomorrow with Colonel Mason, the definitive program on emerging and nanotechnologies, now archived and streamed on the web at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Join us next week at the same time as we learn more about the promise of tomorrow.
Waiting for you.